As Christians, we gather each Sunday to worship the Lord God corporately and publicly. It is a witness to this world that we serve the living God, a risen God, and that our Savior lives. For on the first day, which we call Sunday, Jesus rose up from the grave and gave victory over death to redeem sinners in Christ. But faith in Jesus' resurrection was somewhat on shaky ground that very first day in which Jesus did rise, even amongst his disciples. It wasn't until several days later that the disciples were completely convinced of those events and therefore trusted completely in Jesus' promise that he would return one day and resurrect them as well. In Mark's gospel, we read of this account at the end of his gospel in chapter 16, and perhaps Mark best documents the initial doubt and eventual conviction in the resurrection for the disciples of Jesus. Mark chapter 16, and I'll be reading verses 9 to 14. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11, and as they sat at meat, and unbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. The opening line in verse 9 states the great premise and wonderful news that Jesus rose the very first day of the week. This wonderful news has been challenged throughout the centuries by unbelievers, certainly. But it was first challenged, and in fact not believed, by those that were closest to Jesus, his disciples. First, we read in verse 11 that they did not believe the testimony of Mary Magdalene. Now, this could be simply written off as being a byproduct of the time, for the testimony of a woman in that day was not held to the same value of society as a man's. But then we must be reminded that these disciples of Jesus, they were witnesses of Mary Magdalene. They had seen how Jesus had delivered her from these seven evil spirits, and she was dramatically changed. Additionally, they witnessed her changed life as she faithfully followed Jesus the rest of her life. And so her testimony should have been believed by the disciples. But regardless, they did not believe it, for it seemed too incredible, too wonderful of news. Next, we read in verse 13 that they did not believe the testimony of those two men who traveled along the road to Emmaus, where Jesus accompanied them. Jesus appeared to them in a different form, which just gives a little bit more mystery to that glorified body he has promised to those who trust in him. These two men didn't recognize Jesus at first when they traveled along the road with him. But as soon as they parted from him, there was a burning within their hearts, and they understood that this was, in fact, the Lord they were speaking with. And they were men of good character, and so the disciples should have believed their witness. They still remained in unbelief once they were told this wonderful news by these men. See, the witness of Mary and these two men could not convince even the closest followers of Jesus that he had indeed risen from the dead. Because the idea of a resurrection is not something natural. It's not something that we observe in our everyday. It is, by all accounts, a miracle and something only God can perform. And so you and I have no power to convince another of the resurrection on our own. It is truly the Holy Spirit who convicts the heart, convinces their mind that it's not only possible, but that it did happen, and that the resurrection is true. And God has chosen to work through our witness, who believe, to convict man by his Holy Spirit. And so the witness by Mary and these two men were not spent in vain, but even when Jesus appeared before these disciples, they were still in doubt at first. Luke's gospel records this account saying in Luke 24, verse 41, "And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder." It was too amazing of news, even though that Jesus stood right before them in a glorified body. But something dramatic change occurred in that meeting. For these minds of the disciples were altered and would alter the course of their life in history. The witness of Mary and the other two men planted seeds of hope. Could it be possible that Jesus did, in fact, rise from the grave? Jesus confirmed it by appearing to them, and then, as John 20, verse 22 says, breathed on them the Holy Spirit. From there, they would be given a new mandate in life. They were ambassadors of Christ. They were to go out as a witness and tell of the resurrected Savior, to preach the gospel, disciple new converts, and teach wherever the Lord had sent them. From that meeting, they would be equipped with renewed hope and purpose in life. Mark's gospel concludes with this account in verses 19 and 20, saying, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word and signs following. Amen." In John's gospel, Jesus declared that long before he went to the cross, that he is and always will be the resurrection and the life. In John 11, verse 25 and 26, which we have on our morning's bulletin, Jesus said to Mary, to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe thou this." Until someone has been confronted with this question and answered in the affirmative, we remain dead and separated from God. The resurrection of Jesus and the believers in Christ are fundamental doctrines that true Christians must believe. Yet so many sitting in churches today do not believe in the literal resurrection. Rather, they think it as only symbolic or a nurturing concept. But it was literal, a historical, literal event. And so it must be believed literally. For what hope of salvation offers is of little consequence if there is not life after the grave. I close with 1 John 5, verses 10 to 12. Which points to, or the resurrection, pointing to eternal life in Christ. 1 John 5, 10 to 12. "He that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life." Today, be convinced of Jesus' testimony on earth, and if so, be assured that you have eternal life in Christ as well. He did rise as the first fruits, and he is coming again to reap his harvest of first fruits, that being those who trust in him today.